Welcome to Kuvera's weekly digest on the most critical developments related to business, finance, and the markets. That sinking feeling. 14 years ago, on September 15, 2008 to be precise, Lehman Brothers filed for bankruptcy. The collapse of the American investment banking giant that had $639 billion in assets triggered a global financial crisis. Why are we recalling that event? Well, because this past week there has been a frenzy of speculation that the world could soon see another Lehman moment. A week ago, the CEO of Credit Suisse, a major Swiss bank and one of the world's largest, said it had a strong capital base and liquidity position and that this shouldn't be confused with its stock price performance. The remarks came as concerns grew about the health of Credit Suisse. The bank's shares have indeed been falling, they are down 53% year-to-date. But the bigger concern is spreads on its credit default swaps, essentially, the cost of insuring exposure to debt it issued, have soared to their highest level since 2008 after many risky bets turned sour and it suffered billions in losses. Market observers were quick to point out the similarities between Lehman and Credit Suisse, saying the American bank had also reassured about its capital base just a week before filing for bankruptcy. Nassim Nicholas Taleb, a former trader and the author of 2007 book The Black Swan, even took a dig at Credit Suisse and tweeted, "All rumors are false until officially denied." So, is Credit Suisse in danger of collapsing? Well, the situation does seem a lot more serious than Credit Suisse would have us believe. The credit ratings firm Moody's, for instance, downgraded its rating on Credit Suisse in August and estimates the lender could suffer a loss of $3 billion in 2022. The bank's statement this week that it is selling the nearly 200-year-old Savoy Hotel in Zurich didn't help either. What would happen if Credit Suisse were to, God forbid, collapse? That will certainly be a catastrophe bigger than Lehman. And while the last time the central banks of major economies had plenty of firepower to prop up their respective economies, this time they have already exhausted their ammunition to deal with the pandemic. So, let's hope Credit Suisse gets its act together. Credit Suisse's fate will only be known in the next few weeks and months. But the prospects of global and Indian economic growth certainly seems to be going down, or more precisely, slowing down. The International Monetary Fund said Thursday it will downgrade its forecast for a 2.9% global growth rate in 2023. This, the IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva said, could put the global economy at the risk of a recession and financial instability. Georgieva said the outlook for the global economy was darkening given the shocks caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, Russia's invasion of Ukraine and climate disasters. The IMF is not the only major global organization to have sounded the alarm bells. The World Trade Organization has cut its forecast for global trade growth to 1% in 2023 from a projected 3.5% in 2022. And then there's the World Bank, which slashed India's GDP growth outlook for 2022-23 to 6.5% from 7.5%. The bad news for India doesn't just end at this. A 2 million barrels per day crude oil output cut by the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and Russia will mean that global crude and gas prices will remain at elevated levels. This will hurt India, which imports up to 80% of its fossil fuel needs. This means, for you the consumer, petrol and diesel at the fuel pump will continue to burn a hole in your pockets, as global oil prices look to top $100 per barrel once again. And all of this is impacting India's economy. Latest numbers show growth in the services sector fell to a 6-month low in September. The S&P Global India Services Purchasing Managers Index fell to 54.3 in September from August's 57.2, as weak external demand weighed on sales. Even manufacturing PMI edged lower to 55.1 in September from 56.2 in August. If all these numbers seem too heady, just get this, things are not looking good for the global and Indian economy, so brace for impact. As the economy slows down, India's fintech sector seems to be going through the motions as well. This week, tech investor Prosus, which is owned by South African tech and multimedia major Naspers, called off a $4.7 billion deal to acquire Indian payments firm BillDesk, citing breach of conditions. Prosus had announced the deal in August last year to expand its footprint in India's burgeoning fintech sector via its payments gateway Payu. The deal was called off just hours before its deadline, taking the Indian company's shareholders by surprise and setting the stage for what promises to be an engaging legal battle that lawyers and journalists alike long for. So, as the legal battles begin, we'll be watching rather keenly. Can we get some popcorn, please? Market wrap. All economic indicators this week may have been pointing south, but India's stock markets were headed in the opposite direction. Although the markets corrected a bit on Friday, the benchmark Sensex and Nifty both ended the week solidly in the green. Between Monday and Friday, the Sensex and Nifty both gained around 2.9%. Among the Nifty 50 counters that gained the most during the week were Coal India, JSW Steel, aluminium producer Hindalco and state-run ONGC. Other stocks that also joined in the party were watch and jewelry maker Titan, Hero MotoCorp, Larsen & Toubro and Tata Steel. On the losing side, companies that were most in the red included Adani Enterprises, Hindustan Unilever, Eicher Motors, Britannia Industries, and Mahindra & Mahindra. Some others that left their investors poorer were Adani Ports and state-run Power Grid Corp of India.